Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fire It Up with CJ, I have Ragini Michaels, author of an upcoming book coming out in May in 2012 called Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. I love that title.
I do, too.
That's exciting.
Thanks for having me here today,
yeah,
CJ.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So today's topic is fear, which relates to your peaceful, you know, staying peaceful and happy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do, you know, one of the things I do in addition to this radio show is coaching. And what I know and why I wanted so much to cover this topic is that fear prevents so many people from moving forward. And I think we don't really have a good handle on what fear is and what it's all about. So I wanted to spend this first segment on just really just understanding what is fear. So tell us your perspective on what is fear.
Well, first I would say that fear is natural. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the most primitive and hardwired into our system. And, of course, the function of it is safety, mm-hmm. you know, to help us know whether the situation that we're in is one we can stay in or should we leave. Mm-hmm. But actually, the interesting thing about the body is that it's actually only wired, as we all know, to either flee or to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there isn't any wiring.
Even when it feels fear.
When it feels fear. And that's right. The function of it, to assess the environment and say, is this something that I should be afraid of, or is it something I should leave? Should mm-hmm. I fight, or should I leave? So it's very geared to noticing what's detrimental or threatening to your safety.
Right.
It's a survival mechanism.
And it's a primitive form.
It's primitive.
Right? It's like of the various you know, skills that we have, it seems to be the one that's most primitive.
It's
right?
most primitive. It's naturally wired, and it's an instinct. So yeah. You're never going to get rid of it. And you don't want to get rid of
right.
it, because it really does help you assess situations. Now, if you're into conscious living, the problem for you is there's no wiring in that mechanism to just be present to the moment. It's just you either flee from it or you fight.
Right.
Whatever's there.
Right.
So it can become problematic, especially if it gets really piled up with a lot of cultural conditioning of different things that you perceive as dangerous.
Yeah, and when we talked about this before, one of the interesting distinctions that you made is there's healthy fear and unhealthy fear. The healthy
right.
is like, you know, a large truck is about to run you over.
Right.
This
yes.
is healthy fear. Flight.
Flight. You do it
right.
fast.
You don't fight. Hopefully you don't fight.
And the thing also is that it's not a rational thing. It simply occurs. It's an instinct.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember being on the road in India one time, and one of those huge, hideous trucks started coming right at us.
Right.
And my body, all of a sudden, it jumped off the road, and I ended up in a ditch.
You didn't think about it.
Didn't think.
Right.
Right. There's no thought in the primitive functioning of fear.
Right. And that's healthy fear.
It is.
Right?
It is.
What is unhealthy fear?
Unhealthy fear is whenever it tends to signal to you that something that actually isn't frightening mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if something that isn't, I should better say, dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a lot of the things that we consider to be dangerous, for example, rejection,
mm-hmm.
okay,
right.
we become very frightened of that.
Right.
And if it becomes too big, the fear, then it actually literally stops you from being able to live your life with rejection being a part of it. Instead, you start to live your life running away from and always trying to protect yourself from rejection. Because if there's any chance of it happening, fear happens in your body.
Hmm.
So this is when this basic mechanism that's actually intended to be helpful
mm-hmm.
can actually get in your way of living your life the way it's meant to be lived.
Right, because your instinct comes up thinking that there's truly, it's equivalent to there's a truck coming my way and
right.
running me over, when in fact there really isn't
right.
anything truly scary about it. But your body reacts.
Your body reacts, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, essentially, and just understanding the neurophysiology of it, how your brain and body work, mm-hmm. it actually triggers what they call the amygdala, which is your primitive section of your brain in mm-hmm. the back. And when that happens, it actually shuts down your frontal lobe, which is the area where you can access presence, mindfulness, courage, inspiration, clarity, rationality, all of these things are more in your frontal lobe. Yeah. So when you get really fired up at that basic instinctual level,
right.
you've got to have quite a bit of awareness. You've got right. to know what's happening. You've got to be able to sort of be present to it and mm-hmm. allow your that to calm down so that your frontal lobe can click on and take over.
Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect one, the fear of rejection, because that's the one I think of a lot when yeah. I do career coaching. Like, mm-hmm. how about if they don't hire me? How about if they don't say I'm good or hireable?
Right.
And so let's say that, first of all, you have to be aware.
You have to be aware that
you have this fear of rejection.
Yes, or fear of anything. You have to know that you're actually afraid.
Right.
Which for many people is very difficult, because owning that you're frightened is not necessarily an easy thing to do in our culture.
Yeah, we have a culture of bravado where it's like, I'm not scared of anything. What do you mean?
Right.
But I really am.
And then you get called a wimp and a weakling
yeah.
and a coward. And those are not accurate descriptions. You know,
right.
fear, as I said before, is natural and normal.
Right.
When it comes in response to the possibility of rejection,
right.
then that's in the category of more of an unhealthy fear.
Right.
right. Now, you can make it into something you can use, but we'll talk about that a little later.
Right. Right. Okay. So how do we actually dissect this? Okay, I have a fear of rejection. How do I get, and you can see how that fear of rejection, I mean, I've seen it in career coaching, that mm-hmm. that fear of rejection stops you from even applying for a job.
Right.
You know, you've gotten fired from a current job, and there's like a heavy duty rejection,
right.
and then your fear of getting hurt again by applying and putting yourself out there and
right.
applying for several jobs. So that's an example of how this kind of fear hurts you, right?
That's right. Pretty soon you've developed what we call in the counseling biz or in the hypnotherapy biz, an anticipatory phobia. You're
okay.
anticipating your fear of rejection.
Mm, okay.
You're anticipating being rejection, so you become frightened of the possibility of rejection.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes very, very unhealthy.
Yeah. Right?
Because just as you say, you won't go to the job interview, you won't pick up the phone and make a cold call, you won't go out on a date, you won't go out of the house. You know, it can keep escalating to the point where it's completely disrupted whatever area of life you're having trouble in.
Right, right. So there's lots of these kinds of fears that go out and disrupt us, right? Fear mm-hmm. of rejection is one of them. Fear mm-hmm. of the unknown is another.
Right.
Fear of failure and success. Those are ones that I typically see when I work with clients. And how would we be aware that we even have these fears? I mean, part of it is just even naming it, right? And going, mm-hmm. oops, I have that one. But how do we become aware that we even have a fear like this?
I think the first thing to do, once again, and I'm getting, you know, old for saying this, but is to notice what's going on in your body.
Yeah.
If you're clenching your fists, gritting mm-hmm. your teeth, if you're holding your breath, if you've pulled back from a situation,
mm-hmm.
if you find yourself wanting to go into denial, or more easily said, just looking away from it and, you know, like, that's not really a problem. Right? Because you're frightened of it, and so you're choosing not to deal with it. You
right.
go into denial.
It's like shutting your eyes in a movie theater when
yeah.
you see something scary.
Absolutely. That's a good way of talking
yeah.
about it. So anytime you want to know, are you frightened, simply look inside your body. And most people feel the fear usually in around their belly area
yeah.
or just under the heart area.
Yeah.
Or you can know you're frightened because you start breathing high and shallow in the chest.
Yeah, like this. It doesn't sound like that, but if you actually look, I've seen clients and I see them and I can actually see that they're not breathing.
Right. That's
yeah.
right. They're breathing, but it's high and shallow.
Yeah.
And that's like you're ready to run. Right.
right.
You know, the adrenaline kicks in when you're frightened. That's
right.
why you can feel something in your body.
Right.
Right. So just I want to throw this in here just for a second before
yeah.
we go any further. That studies were for years and years and years, everyone thought that fleeing or fighting was the only response possible to what we perceived as danger.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, it was realized that those tests were all done on men with no women. And then they began testing women and found that women, primarily because there are different chemicals that operate as well, tend to do less fight or flight, primarily because they have kids to attend to.
Right.
And they tend to do more tend and befriend. when danger is around.
Okay.
They will tend to the children, and they will go and look to other women or other people in the community to support them to create a group, as opposed to simply being aggressive one-on-one or leaving the situation altogether. Right. So just to throw that in, because most of us in our culture have pretty much believed fight or flight is the only response to danger possible.
Right.
But understanding that now they've done studies on women, and oxytocin, if you're interested in it, is the chemical that is getting a lot of the credit for the way women respond.
Isn't that fascinating?
In this situation.
Yeah.
It tends to bring forth a different response.
Yeah.
So just to throw that in, because I think it's interesting.
Well, just to wrap up then, so what do you see is, you know, why should we even, I mean, we've talked about it stopping us. I mean, what should we do if we know that we are subject to one of these fears? I mean, what's the best process to use?
Obviously, the best thing to do when you know you're afraid is to turn around and face it and figure out what it is exactly that you're frightened of.
Mm-hmm.
Because for most of us, we don't really know what we're actually scared of. We just have something that we think our mind automatically sees a situation, like a potential rejection, and it gets scared, and then it just pulls back from the situation.
Right.
If you don't turn around and examine that, you might not really understand what it is that you're most frightened of.
Yeah, it's almost like labeling it, you know, figuring out labeling what is it. Is it a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, a fear of success, a fear of the unknown? What is it that you're fearful of?
Right.
Probably would help, because then you can face it. But if you don't even know what you're fearful of, you can't even face it.
Right. You can't. You won't get very far doing what you really need to do with fear, which is feel your fear. And this is the name of a book, and do it anyway.
Yeah. So quick summary: one, feel it in your body. It could be in your stomach. It could be in your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I've also found that myself personally, it's in my sleep. So when I wake up in the middle of the night and my head is discursively thinking about crazy, you know, it's like my mind is on overload. Right. It's usually fear is pretty much the culprit in that one.
So pretty much. Like, and there's no time to get it into your awareness during the day, so it doesn't.
Fear will get you all the time. So I think it's one, being aware that it's present. Mm-hmm. Two is labeling it. Mm-hmm. And three, then you have the tools to kind of face it. So Rodney Michaels, an internationally recognized expert on behavioral change and an author of a new book, Unflappable, coming out of May 2010. If you want to hear more about fear or learn more about Rodney, then continue listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio at www.firedupwithcj.com or factcc.com. Next, we're going to be talking about what is the fear of failure, or what is the fear of the unknown and how to overcome it. So we're going to address one area, fear of the unknown.
Okay.
The world one listener at a time.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Ragni Michael, speaker, author of a new book called Unflappable, coming out of May in the May of 2012, and also an expert in behavioral change. We're talking about the fear of the unknown and how to overcome it. So what is the fear of the unknown?
Well, I think ultimately to understand the fear of the unknown, you have to realize that we never know what's going to happen next.
Right.
It's actually pretty simple. The yeah. fear of the unknown relates to a definite fact.
Right.
You know, my work's called facticity. So
right.
it relates to certain facts. And one
right.
of those facts is nobody ever really knows what's going to happen in the next moment.
Right.
Combine that with the fact that we're driven by this fear that we were talking about earlier that's always on the alert for danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because its job is to make sure we survive.
Right.
So there you are with this mechanism in your body that's always on alert for possible dangers to your survival.
Right.
And a real life situation where you don't really know what's going to happen next.
Right.
So those two together create a great deal of potential disaster for human beings.
Right. Where you have a body that has an instinctual response, as we talked about, what is fear? You know, your body has an instinctual response to something that it feels is real.
And it's definitely about survival.
Yeah.
It's designed to make sure that you survive.
Yeah.
Right? The species must go on.
The hard thing about the fear of the unknown is it's unknown. I mean, you know, so how does one make peace with that? Because you'll never know. I mean, there's some things we have in our control, some things we don't have
right.
in our control, right? But
that's
most
correct.
Of it, if we're really true to what's real, we realize we have control over nothing, right?
You have control over one thing, maybe, and that's what you do with your response to what happens to you in your life.
Right.
You have some say over that if you have some awareness and some presence and you're willing
right.
to do the work to deal with your inner thinking,
right.
your inner thoughts.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily about positive thinking, but one of the things that we are most geared to, because we're always, our unconscious process is always looking for what's the potential end of our life,
mm-hmm.
our end of our career, our end of our relationship,
mm-hmm.
or end of my health, or end of my bank account. It's always looking for the, you know, could it end? You know,
right.
my survival could be threatened by any of those things I just
right.
said, according
right.
to my mind.
Right.
So the we're very geared to looking at worst case scenarios.
That's true.
So if you want a practical tool for dealing with fear of the unknown, it's to realize that you are running a worst case scenario, or you're running some negative scenario in your mind. Stop, be aware you're afraid, turn around, look at the fear, What are you afraid of? Then go to the worst case scenario that you can think of. For example, I lost all my money. This is not true. Let's say I lost all my money right. in the crash, and I don't, and I'm really hard up, and I don't have very much left. Okay? Right. So the fact that I said I lost all my money is an exaggeration, correct? Yeah. Okay, but we all do this. So then I start to generate a worst case scenario in my mind. Oh my God, I'm going to be on the street. I'm going to lose my house. Then my friends won't like me. I don't have any friends who will take me in. I will become a bag lady. I will have one of those little carts.
I'm not breathing.
And that's what we do. So you consciously, this is all always about consciousness and awareness, try and bring that out, speak it. What's the worst case scenario that I'm imagining? And you'll find one because it's in there.
But people don't want to do that, honestly. They're like, I don't want to go there. You know, but you're saying go there.
I'm saying if you don't go there, fear has charge of your life and you don't. Mm-hmm. And if you want charge of your life, you have to take charge of your fear and understand it so that you can redirect the energy in a different direction.
Okay, so I have so many friends, relatives who go, oh, why go there? Why go there? And what's the benefit of going there? So, okay, you're saying that the benefit is that you're labeling it, you're understanding it. So what? Like, what am I going to do now? I have this fear. What am I going to do with it?
So here, so you look at the worst case scenario. You find it. You look at it. You say, I'm afraid of X. You take it to the worst possible scenario, which you are doing anyway.
Right.
And I think that's what's important to understand.
Well, you're doing it anyway at an unconscious level.
You're doing it anyway
in your sleep, whatever.
At the unconscious level. So it isn't like you can avoid it. It's already there in your life. So the question is, can you turn around and be conscious of it? Then once you've looked at it and seen it through to the bitter end, there you are with your little cart on the street. You've got, you know, just...
Right. And that's where it always ends. And when I take clients down that path, it's I'm homeless without family and...
That's right.
No one.
And I have a little room with a bare mattress and a bare light bulb going
on. Oh, so you have a more dramatic version?
Of course.
Okay.
Once you've gotten to the bitter end of it, then say, okay... What if something good happens in the future?
Okay.
What if something good happens to me, all right, instead of something bad? This is a question very few of us ever really ask because we're already believing that the negative scenario is really going to be the highest probability.
Right.
Okay? Because we don't look at it. It has way more power than
we do. Yeah, it's like 90% worst case scenario, 10% best case scenario, or like, you know. I will see an alien and 10%, you know, this other percentage of things will go really well.
So the key question is, what if something good happens?
Okay.
Right? And once you can get to the point where you can ask that question, because you're really going to want something good to happen if you've seen it through to the bitter end of your worst case scenario.
Right.
You're going to say, okay, well, what if I'm wrong and that doesn't happen and something good happens?
Right.
Okay? Then you start to imagine whatever it is that you think would be a good scenario or a good outcome for this. All right, whatever the situation was. So I was saying I lost my money.
Right.
So let's say a good scenario would be, you know, well, you know, I have a friend who knows a person at Microsoft and they're going to get me an interview. And what if I got the job? And what if I started making more money?
So you literally go to the opposite spectrum and talk about the best case scenario. Here's my best case scenario. I actually keep my job. I get a job that pays just as much. My family's great. And I don't have to work as many hours. Let's say I came up with that as my best case scenario. Now what do I do next?
Then you ask yourself, you imagine it happening inside of your mind, and if you can't see it, if you can't see that, if you can't come up with anything, if you can't come up with a positive scenario.
Which sometimes happens, honestly.
Pick up the phone and make yourself an appointment with someone, because fear is running your life.
Right.
If you can't even find a positive scenario, it means you don't have a neural pathway laid down in your brain. Hmm. I had a client the other week, and I said, can you tell me, now talk about this scenario in a positive way. Tell me positive, something positive that could happen. And she sat there with a blank look on her face and said, I have no idea.
Wow. So she had no neural pathways.
She had no neural pathways for seeing something positive in this scenario. She was so identified and caught in it, like in a rut, a deep rut, about this crash and burn pattern that was her life.
How did you build the synapses then for her?
She had to practice being positive, and it was incredibly hard for her at first. Mm-hmm. As she does it every day and practices, the neural pathways are literally being laid down in the brain, new neural connections.
Yeah.
So now when she goes to talk about, you know, finding something positive, she at least has a few scenarios and some words,
right,
to say it. So when she says, for example, I'm going into debt again, she goes, oh, wait a minute, I'm investing.
Okay, good.
A very different scenario, going into debt versus investing.
Yeah.
But the neural pathways for looking at it positively were not there. So If you can't imagine anything positive,
right,
get on the phone, make yourself an appointment with a hypnotherapist, or, of course, that's what I am, but any kind of counselor, anybody who can help you start to understand the value of thinking positively and how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can imagine that your friend is going to get you a job at Microsoft and you're going to be making more money, but you actually can't see it, mm-hmm. you can't see it happening to you.
Mm.
Okay. Then you want to imagine as if it were possible for it to happen to you. Mm-hmm. If you can do it, great. If you can't, pick up the phone and call someone, get a little help. We all need a little help with this one.
So this is like a visualization exercise. Visualize yourself in that job, sitting in that seat, you know,
that's
being productive, going home at reasonable hours, whatever.
Right. Okay. So if you can imagine it, and you can imagine it happening to
visualize
you.
Visualize it, imagine it, and come up with a scenario, visualize, okay.
And it has to be happening to you, not to some stranger.
Wait, okay,
because you have to believe it's actually possible, not just possible, but possible for you
mm-hmm.
to actually do this. But you still can't feel it, mm-hmm. then all you need to do is practice. You don't have to pick up the phone on this one and call anybody.
Right.
You've got the major things. You just need to keep practicing and imagining what it would feel like to actually have had that good thing happen to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this generates a different response in your neurophysiology and in your brain.
Mm.
And fear then is not running your life if you have an alternative to go to.
Mm. Wow, okay, interesting. So instead of like the instinctual response, like boom, la, 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 it goes, you know, it goes to this other pathway. It
goes to the other pathway.
I'm going to find a job. It's going to be paying just as much as I got before, and it's going to be just as intellectually interesting, whatever your criteria is that you've visualized and felt.
Right.
And then you have a new...
Having a background in neurophysiology and physiological psychology and neurolinguistic programming and having worked with the unconscious for so long, it is obvious, very obvious to me, mm-hmm. right, that if your brain doesn't care what it does, but it has to have neural pathways in it in order for it to respond in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want your life to be more positive, there has to be neural pathways laid down in your brain that carry that kind of information
mm-hmm.
to balance out the naturally occurring neural pathways that are there, that are on the alert for whatever would endanger your survival.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be aware of how many things you've been taught that you consider dangerous to your survival.
Right.
Right? Right. You know, oh, I'm too fat. I'm not pretty enough. These are dangerous to my survival as a woman.
Right.
I'm not wealthy enough. This is dangerous to my financial survival.
Right.
I'm not smart enough. This is dangerous to my professional survival. Go on and on. You know, there's all kinds of things that we're frightened of because we believe at some level that it's a danger to our actual safety or survival in some context.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if we have enough time. Oh, we don't have enough time. Things have gone so quickly. All right. So I have today Ragini Michaels, a speaker, author, and expert in behavioral change on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Do you want to know more about fear or find out the fear of, we're talking about the fear of failure and how to overcome it, you can tune into www.firedupwithcj.com.
Traveling to another dimension. A dimension not only...
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful. Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Get a chance to call in with your questions live with Mata. If you would like this internationally acclaimed master healer to answer your questions on a personal level, call 1-800-930-2819. Speak with the founder of her very own evolutionary lightspeed healing method and receive personal guidance pertaining to any physical or emotional health concern that you might have. Just call 1-800-930-2819. That's Mondays with Mata, only on Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Today we have Ragini Michaels, author of an upcoming book in May of 2010 called Unflappable.
2012,
excuse me. It came out in the past, so it's coming out in the future, 2012. Write it down on your calendars. Six steps to staying peaceful, happy, no matter what. Peaceful and happy, no matter what. So we're talking about the fear of failure and how to overcome it. And this is one of the, a lot of the people that I coach are generally professional people at work. They have awful work-life balance. Mm-hmm. They sometimes get frozen up in terms of meetings and knowing what to say and, you know, work way too many hours. And a lot of this, I think, is related to this fear of failure. I mean, when it goes down to what fear is operating, it's usually mm-hmm. this fear of failure. How would you define what the fear of failure is?
Well, it's being frightened that you're not going to succeed, to yeah. put it differently. But if we look at it a little closer in the light of what we've been talking about in the mm-hmm. earlier segments, it really fear of failure has to do with your fear of surviving, your mm-hmm. fear that you won't be safe in the world anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's not because there's a real danger out there, like a tornado or a grizzly bear or somebody with a gun who's after you. It is actually a conditioned belief that's there that failure says something about who you are and therefore it is a threat to your survival. If you fail, it'll say something about you, your identity. If you fail, it says something about your value. If you fail, it says something about your worth. These are the three things that rest heavy on your unconscious mind and your conscious shoulders mm-hmm. when you are frightened of failure.
Right.
It threatens your identity, it threatens your value, and it threatens your sense of worth.
Right, and you're saying, and just to go back, because not everyone may know what the word conditioned response means, but it's from, you know, the feedback that we get from society, our parents, our culture, whatever that
right.
culture may
it's
be.
It's what you're taught, basically.
What you're taught.
Everything you're taught, from right. your ancestral stories down to your parents' stories to your cultural stories.
Right, so if we do the fear of identity, if you fail, then you're no longer going to be the golden girl or boy, right? Right. That's like if you're identified with being the golden girl or boy, you've lost that identity, right?
That's correct.
So then fear of value kind of feels the same way, but what would a fear of value? If you fail, then you have no value to me.
That's right, because you're a loser and you aren't contributing.
Okay, so these are like the right. deep, dark places
you,
we go.
And if you aren't contributing, you have no worth.
Right, okay.
How's that?
Love, yeah. So here's these lovely statements, these are really what register in our minds, right?
This is generally speaking, with little tweaks and changes here and there, what is going on in most unconscious minds in the Western world.
Right.
Because these are heavy conditionings and they're accepted to be the truth.
Right.
They're not just a teaching or an idea. Most of us carry it as a truth, and it's a truth that's dangerous to our survival in the world.
Right. And you talk about the unconscious mind a lot. So that's, mm-hmm. You're not aware of it during the day, right. But like in the background, processing in the background.
So much of the anxiety and stress that people feel today is actually directly related to the fear of failure, mm-hmm. the fear that you won't get your paper done on time, the fear mm-hmm. you won't get the project done on time, the fear mm-hmm. you're going to receive negative feedback, the fear that your other members on your team won't like your idea or will reject your idea, the fear that you can't get along with the other members on your team, the fear that your anger will come up and disrupt the team and you'll get rejected.
Right.
I mean, all of these things relate to, oh my God, any of those that happen right. will make negative statements about who I am. That will affect my value in the world, in the team, in my life, at home, and that will affect my sense of worth and self-esteem.
Right.
So it's heavily loaded. It's a heavy package, fear of failure, to right. carry around.
Right. And so in one of the segments that we did about what is the fear of the unknown, one of the suggestions that you made is that you had a process that you used. Mm-hmm. For the first one is to be really clear about your worst case scenario.
Right.
So in this particular case, the worst case scenario is I have no worth. But it gets, is that the worst it gets or?
Well, I have no worth, and therefore, if I'm not careful, everyone will see that I have no worth. And if I lose this job, it will be obvious that I have no worth. Or another example that's different from work, if you're a woman and you don't have a husband or a man in your life, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, I hear this in my office a lot.
Right.
It's obvious because it shows everywhere that you don't have a man in your life.
Right.
What does that mean about you as a woman?
Right.
What does it mean about your value? What does it mean about your worth?
Right. I'm a failure as a woman. I don't have any. I'm not even recognized as an entity
right.
without the Mrs. or whatever.
That's right.
And then
right.
I have no worth as an individual and part of the community. I mean,
right.
where does it go?
Right. I can't even get a partner. And that's what all human beings have. I'm such a failure. And it's one of those things that's stamped on the outside of you, just like if you don't have a job.
Right. right?
So it's
the worst case. So what?
You.
Who cares if you're a failure? I mean, so what? What?
So worst case scenario, you lose everything you have in your life. You lose your money. You lose your friends. You lose your house. You lose your partner.
Oh, and then you're on the street again with the light in the back.
And you are alone.
Okay.
And in this kind of scenario, fear of failure oftentimes equates with being alone.
Okay.
You are such a pariah. Nobody wants to be around a failure. So you will be alone.
Okay.
And then you will really be in danger. So again, your survival, it always comes back to the core fear of, can I survive without success?
Mm-hmm.
And most of our unconscious minds go, my goodness, no, you have to get rid of failure. You must always succeed 100% of the time. And
right.
if you fail, hide it.
Right.
Don't show anybody, right?
Absolutely.
And this is the unconscious process. Now, many of you listening may say, I understand this, Ragini. And you may very well understand it consciously.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, look and see how you actually behave in the presence of some of these potential fears.
Mm-hmm.
And see if your unconscious mind has shifted in this awareness with you. If
right.
it has not, then you need to put some work in to get the unconscious mind in alignment with what you know to
right.
be true,
yeah.
which is failure is not the end of everything.
Right.
It's not the end of anything. It's just the
right.
end of a particular experience,
right.
which you learn from and then you go on.
Yeah, and I think actually one of the things that you've said to me once that I thought was very astute is that if you reframe failure into just feedback,
mm-hmm.
it's feedback that you need to do something different.
That's right.
It's not about that you suck, you're not good at this, you're a failure, you'll be all alone. It's none of those things.
Right.
It's just feedback.
It's just feedback.
That you got to do something differently. And to me, that at least was the most helpful. Like, okay, I wasn't frozen in an action because I was afraid that I'd fail. It's like, mm-hmm. I have to keep on moving forward and keep on doing, and then I'll get feedback, and then I'll know. I mean, I think that was a good reframe in some ways.
Good. That's good. In like a job or a relationship, when you can't leave and you can't fight, mm-hmm. you tend to move into paralysis. Mm. So you don't have any other option, and that feels in itself like a failure.
Right.
So when you're in paralysis, you must understand that the only options you have are not ones that you feel you can take.
Right. So flight, or can you tend and befriend?
You might be able to tend and befriend. You might be able to. Women tend to do better in frightening situations than men do, actually.
Right.
Because they only have two options, whereas women have those two plus tend and befriend.
Right.
This is kind of like new research in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
It's not all that common, but there are studies on it. If you want to look it up on the internet, I'm sure you'll find some.
Interesting. So let's use the, when we had talked in a previous segment about what is the fear of the unknown, you had said that really the process is going to the worst case, going to the best case, and then building new neural pathways. Viewing the best case and then imagining and feeling the best case. So in this context of fear of failure, do you have, you know, some clients that you've worked with? How have you worked with them in this scenario?
Well, the curious thing about this, and this takes you right into my work, which is about paradox and polarities, is that when you have a fear of failure, there is almost an equal fear of success on the other side.
Mm.
So success and failure, it's true. And it's interesting to note that once people start to overcome their fear of failure, they run right smack into the face of their fear of success. So fear is such a permeating emotion. To be able to become friends with your fear, make it your ally instead of your enemy. Mm. It can be a great advisor, and it can show you what you're frightened of. So when we get here to the next segment, we're going to talk a little about success. Is that right? Okay.
Yep.
Because these two go together. Success
so
and failure go together.
To okay, right. Good. Mm-hmm. Ragini Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and peace on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. If you want to know more about Ragini or want to know more about the fear of failure or failure of success, which is in the next segment, then listen up to Fired Up with CJ, located at www.firedupwithcj.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
simply.
Hi, I'm CJ Lou, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Rodney Michael, speaker, author of a new book called
Unflappable. 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What.
I love that title. Coming out in May 2012. Rodney is also an expert in behavioral change, and we are discussing the fear of success.
Yes, goes right along with the fear of failure.
Yeah.
So once you've kind of conquered your fear of failure, mm-hmm. what almost always happens is we as human beings run into our fear of success.
Yeah, and fear of failure is something that we just talked about in a previous segment. So,
right.
But yeah, so
here we are once again, the fear of the unknown. Now we think the unknown is our success. What if our success happens? Mm-hmm. And it's curious that we should be frightened of that. But in reality, the unconscious mind feels and believes that success can also be, for many people, a threat to their survival and safety.
Mm.
Some people believe if they're successful, their identity, their sense of self, their ego will become so big they will become an obnoxious person.
Right.
They'll become so wealthy that they'll become an evil person because they don't believe in money being a good thing.
Right.
Or they will have so much value and they will have so much worth that they will become narcissistic and arrogant and not be a good person anymore.
Right.
So it
right.
can go to the opposite extreme.
Right.
On the positive side of that, there's just a fear of the enormous amount of power that we as human beings have in our capability to do things and to be things that we never thought we could be.
Right. It's a weird kind of thing to be that it's polar opposite. Because we, in the previous segment, we were talking about the fear of failure and that your process for if you were to discover, you know, first you have to be aware that this fear is stopping you. Mm-hmm. Be aware of it, whether it be your nightmares, feeling in your body, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you actually have to be, once you're aware of it, you have to label it. Mm-hmm. And once you label it, you know, in this case, it's fear of failure, which then translates to fear of success, right? You go to the worst case scenario and, you know, you go to, in the fear of failure, it's what I find interesting. I mean, the fear of failure, it's like, I'm worth nothing. And then the fear of success is the complete opposite.
I'm worth too much.
I'm worth too much and don't know what to do with myself.
It's curious because there is a tremendous fear of the power that we carry within us to actually actualize our potential.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that we're designed to be, then I personally believe everyone is designed to be something, whether it be a gardener, a wonderful wife, you know, a writer, the best, or not even the best, just somebody who loves to build skyscrapers.
Right.
You know, it's just whatever is your
Let's
passion.
Let's hope they're the best.
You know, they don't have to be
no,
the best.
I'm just kidding for skyscrapers.
For skyscrapers, you might be right there. But the fear of that, again, is overlaid by the idea that you, if you have too much power, somehow you're also not maybe such a good person, right? Again, it affects your identity, your sense of value, and your sense of worth.
Same thing,
only now it's coming from the other side. I wasn't enough before, now I'm too much.
Right.
I can't be too much.
Right.
I'll start breaking rules again. It will be dangerous, but in a different way than if I fail.
Mm.
So I'm sure you've heard the quote many times credited to Marianne Williamson and Nelson Mandela.
And others, I've heard.
And others, and I have one that was said by Soren Kierkegaard, but he said there's nothing every man is so afraid of as getting to know enormously much he's capable of doing and becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really where the fear of success is rooted.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, to overcome the fear of failure and the fear of success, the first thing that I recommend after all these other things we've done, or even before, is to understand that they're a married couple. Wherever one goes, the other follows.
Mm.
It is only easily intelligent and makes sense to make your peace with success and failure as being an intimate and integral part of your daily life.
Mm.
You're going to do things well and you're going to do things not well. Right? It's going to happen.
I love that. And to make your peace with
it. It's just the way it is. You're human.
Right.
And, you know, being human, if you embrace the idea of being human as being bigger than both of these opposites,
mm-hmm.
then life becomes incredibly more peaceful and easy and happy during the day. And that's what my book is all about, is how to do that specifically.
Right.
But in this context, if you realize that the definition of success is the absence of failure,
mm-hmm.
and the definition of failure is the absence of success, mm-hmm. you realize in your mind in your unconscious mind, these two are connected forever because they define each other.
Right.
You can't get one up, one idea up in your brain without the other one coming up as
right.
well.
Right.
And then you're caught between a rock and a hard place, right? Because you go,
so what is
I
one,
really
how
don't
do you,
want
how
either.
Does one make peace with this? I mean, it is actually, to me, just hearing that they, you're either going to be one or the other, and that's the way it is.
And it's going to keep changing.
And it's going to keep changing.
Yes.
Sometimes you'll be on the success, and sometimes you'll be in the failure. And that's what life is all about,
and
right?
it balances itself out.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the wonderful thing about life, is that its primary drive is balanced.
Right.
It always wants to balance.
Yeah.
So if we would get out of the way, and we have, in order to get out of the way, you need to understand what's happening with opposites. And mm-hmm. success and failure is a major one in our culture,
mm-hmm.
just like work and work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's work and then there's your professional life
right.
and your personal life. These have to be balanced. When you understand that you can't be one and not the other.
Right.
And it's really obvious with success and failure. When you can say, yes, it's okay for me to fail. It's okay for me to mm-hmm. fail because it's just part of the process.
Right. This is life. This is part of the
right.
process.
And there's always
like night and day. I can't prevent
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And there's
right.
always something to learn,
mm-hmm.
whether you've succeeded or you failed.
Mm-hmm.
When you're open to learning, even if you think this is the dumbest way of looking at life that you could think of, it's hokey, you know, oh, we're here to learn. It's a school of learning. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But it does work. It is useful.
You'll have more peace and happiness.
You certainly will.
And you mentioned something about fate. How does that fit into all this conversation?
Whenever you get to the point where you realize that these two are going to be a part of your life every day and you're going to have to learn to manage it and navigate it, where do you find the strength to do that is by understanding that you're part of a larger system, whether you call it God or the mystery of the universe or whatever. But your spiritual connection or your realization that you're part of a larger system.
How does that
a larger
help me?
Whole.
I don't get how that helps me.
It helps you because you're okay, whether you're part of a whole. You're not separated out from it because you failed.
Okay.
And you're not being kept at bay because you're too successful.
Right.
The whole doesn't care what you are. It loves you. I don't want to say love because some people hate that, but I will say it anyway. It loves you. And I'm not talking about the kind of love we talk about. It's just a holding, a
right.
sense of you are taken care of because you're a part of a whole system.
Right. Whether you succeed or fail, it really doesn't matter because you're part of the whole, and what your individual effort in some ways makes some difference, but doesn't make difference at
all. That's actually true. And it makes all the difference in the world to you as an individual.
Right.
But in the whole, it really doesn't make any difference, except that you allow yourself to move with this dance between success and failure,
mm.
between fear and courage,
mm.
right? Because you're going to have fear and you already have courage. Everybody has courage, whether
right.
you believe. If you're alive today, you have courage because you've met challenges. It's a given.
Exactly. Interesting. Okay, got it. So what I'm hearing, to summarize, is that once you hit the fear, let me see if I can summarize this well. And I don't care if I don't do it well.
And she does. Both are happening.
Okay, so so part of it is we stop. There's so many things that stop us. The fear of the unknown. And they're so integrally related, all
yes.
of these different things, right? We don't know what's going to happen. And when we do project what's going to happen, we have a sense of fear of failure, which is a segment that we did previously. And to know that the fear of failure is completely married to the fear of success.
Yes.
And really, the kind of meta place that we want to be is go, you know what? Life is about the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Life is all about the fear of success and failure, and mm-hmm. probably is going to become an equal measures and a balance because that's the way the world is.
Right.
Make your peace with it because it's going to be there.
That's right.
And have faith that it's there for some positive intention that maybe you may know or not. Or, in fact, there's no positive intention because you're a speck on the earth.
Well, both
is that a negative way?
No, both perspectives are there. But here's the thing. The faith aspect, the spiritual aspect is important because it balances out the fear. Because the unknown is a fact. That's what we started talking
right.
about
the
in
unknown
the first
is a fact.
Talk
yeah.
today. It's a fact. To live in the unknown, to face it, to step into it, requires something like faith.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said once, it's like stepping off a cliff and trusting that you're either going to find you have wings or something is there beneath your feet to catch you.
Right.
But you have to step off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's going to be there. For most human beings, that requires some kind of faith.
Right.
And something larger than oneself.
Right.
So there you have it.
Beautiful. All right. So get some faith. Get the book.
Because with all those things,
you'll have happiness and peace, which is what your book is all about, right? Unflappable, coming out May 2012.
That's correct. With very specific steps for how to do that.
So thank you, Ragini.
You're very
welcome.
Thank you
for your advice and sharing your great insights into the fear of the unknown, fear of success, fear of failure. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
And once you're on the other side of the fear, life is a lot easier.
I agree. I think that's true. So have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you want to find other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.